thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I will be joined by my man Will T and Ray Jeezy. You're listening to Wally right now, the Urban Sports Scene. But real quick before we get into, you know, what we're about to talk about, the world of sports, and it's still sports relevant. Don't you hate finishing second place or runner up? Like, I was part of this basketball lunch playoff, or it was a championship game during the season. You know, my team did pretty well, and we had the last game of the season, championship game, close game. Game tied at 31. You know, your boy had 0 points. But anyway, that's whatever. But the last play, with 2 seconds left, I go up for a block shot. And this dude, I mean, I hit all ball. I fall on my hip. I felt like I hit all ball. Referee said,
word.
They can't hear you. Not yet, son. He said, word. Now you on.
Word.
There you go. Yes, word, man. I fall on my hip. I feel like I hit all ball. I blocked. I was all ball. Referee calls foul. Dude goes online. Hits 2 shots. Hence, I get the second place trophy. This happened today during my lunch break. And this is Will T talking, saying word. Yeah, man. Second place.
So you just let the people know why you got the second place trophy.
Yeah, I'm letting the people know.
35 and up.
Yeah, 35 and up league.
35 and up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm letting the people know because.
So how did that make you feel?
Well, you know, I didn't play at the highest level. This is one thing you know, when you're playing in leagues and, you know, for me, it's all about cardio. People have egos. It's not about, you know, playing to win, putting the best players on the court. It's like, you know, when you don't have a head coach, you just have anybody, you just run. It's like inmates running the asylum. You say, hey, I'm coming in for you. All right, whatever. It is what it is. When that happens, you have individuals who aren't about the outcome of the game, but more fulfilling their self ego or whatever, their ego or their personal motivation in terms of a team game. Me personally, I'm all about the team.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I sub out. I had people looking at me in the sideline like, wow, you should be back in the game. I'm like, nah, it's all good. Let these people eat.
What was the score?
Lost by 2 last seconds. So that play, so we lost 31-33.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, both teams play hard, man. You know, I went up for this shot block.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell on my hip. My knees kind of hurt. It fell on my knee. Everybody's like, Wally, you thought it was all ball. I feel bad for you. I was like, you know, it is what it is, man.
I got you, man.
See that trophy? Look at that trophy. Look at it. 2017. It says, runner. You going to try to hit my trophy off?
Second place,
floor?
Man. Second place, bro.
Is that
place.
What we're about to do?
Second place.
Second
bro.
Place?
Second place.
Dang, bro. Like, really? You going to throw my trophy off? Like,
I'm not going to throw your trophy on the ground, man. I know you work terrible. Hard. You grinded for it.
I grinded, dude. Like, I wanted to LeBron the whole thing, but they wouldn't let me eat like I needed to eat.
Okay.
You know
you
what
wanted
I mean?
To take over.
I wanted to take.
You was ready.
I was ready. I was ready to go, bro.
I'm ready. I hear you, man.
Ray Jeezy was good, man.
Chilling. just listen to this back and forth.
No, I was just talking about, you know, I second place trophy.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Last time, man. You know.
Second place.
Yeah. What?
First place loser.
I don't believe in all that. I believe, well, you know.
You do.
I do to a certain extent.
Stop trying to comfort yourself.
Look.
You came short of your goal.
I did. That's true.
Will T is brutally honest.
He is very honest. Because, you know, it's all about winning the championship. I just wanted.
It's all about the end result. That's what he said.
Exactly. So this trophy right now is motivation for the next time. You know what
okay.
I mean? Because last time I did, like 2 years ago, I got a second place trophy. I followed up with a first, you know, with a championship. So this time I'm looking at it. I'm going to stare this thing down.
Okay.
All right. I'm just going to motivate me, you know what I mean?
Okay.
To win a championship. Because all about winning championships.
But what about the champion? I'm pretty sure they staring at the trophy. They probably already in the gym right now shooting.
Oh, they were happy. They were ecstatic. They took a picture of everything. They got t-shirts too, which is annoying. They got t-shirts.
No, that's something you would do.
Like, yeah, that's something I would do.
Okay.
Yeah. I would actually have my name imprinted in the trophy though. And say MVP.
All right. Why? Terrible, man.
I would. You wouldn't do that? You not about that life?
Nah, I'm not. But to each his own. I'm glad that you're unique. That's what you need to be. Be yourself, man.
I feel like it's an insult somewhere in between that.
No, it's not. I'm just
being
honest.
So? You don't think
it's what might work for you might not work for me. Same thing for Will T.
Yeah. In the pregame.
All right, here are our topics. We'll discuss the Final Four at 8:20. We'll discuss some of the maybe a possible low ratings within the Final Four at 8:30. The Georgetown Hoyas firing John Thompson III. Beautiful. At 8:40, we'll discuss if Maryland guard Melo Tremble should go pro or not. Finally, the Oakland Raiders moving to Las Vegas. Anyway, like I said before, the Final Four. Before we get into the Final Four, did y'all enjoy the Elite Eight games?
Absolutely.
I enjoyed Kentucky versus North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, that game was and special.
I enjoyed the Florida. What was it? Florida and
Florida
and Wisconsin. I don't think that was Elite Eight.
That was Sweet 16.
That was Sweet 16.
You said Florida. Florida played South Carolina.
No, Florida won.
You talking about that's Wisconsin? Yeah. That was
Sweet 16. But all the rest of the game, there really hasn't been a lot of overtime games or anything like that. No really dramatic ending. So mm-hmm. that you asked me, that's the
Carolina
game I
Kentucky one. I guess is the only one.
That was a classic.
Yeah, that's the game I enjoyed.
That was like basketball is finest. Seriously, like that was excellent basketball being played, especially down the stretch. The stretch, to me, when you ask for your star players to step up, that's what it is. And also, you got your role players who played a part in it.
No, let's talk about culture. Let's talk about specifically Roy Williams. Let's talk about specifically the guy who you kill at every opportunity.
Roy Williams,
two back to back Final Four.
You're right, with a bunch of talent. His team is super deep, but that's not even hitting there. That's not the point of the whole
thing. You're still not gonna give him
because his team is deep as hell. That's a deep squad.
Come on, Wally. At a certain point, you gotta admit that you're wrong.
Dude, he goes 10 deep.
Okay.
And like all of them, like
that's still strategic. That's just
pro. I'm gonna say no,
I'm not saying
they're
stars,
but they're pro prospects. Like it could be
absolutely not.
He'll name it. You got
to me. Joe Barry's not a.
Joe Barry's an enemy. He's a first.
Josh Jackson is not a first round.
He's a first round.
Josh Jackson's the only first round.
No, Josh Jackson's the only first round pick on that.
In this draft.
In this draft.
For Carolina.
Yes. Don't say Meeks.
Huh? No, Meeks
is the second round pick. I said pro prospects. I didn't say rounds. You're putting rounds.
A lot of teams have pro prospects.
No, Carolina has deep. I'm talking about 10 pro prospects, period.
Like who?
No.
Let's name
Bradley will be a number one pick next year.
Pro is a
Jackson,
loose term.
Jackson is a number one pick this year.
We can talk about pro in China.
I'm talking about NBA pro. Okay, I'm just saying,
that's going to be drafted in the first or second round.
Barry could be drafted in the first round, but it's not going to be in this draft because the draft's too
Barry,
deep.
No.
If this draft didn't have
if Smith. If Barry couldn't get drafted, Joe Barry can't.
Yeah, exactly.
If this draft didn't have Smith, and for Dennis Smith from North Carolina State, Ball, Monk, Fox, Joe Burrow would be a first round pick.
Just admit
another class.
Just admit.
No, I'm not gonna give any credit to some bum. Roy Williams.
Okay, so on the other
Carolina fans don't believe Roy Williams.
Here's the thing though, Kentucky had more first round draft picks than Carolina did.
When? What year? What?
In this game?
Only had three. Look, I said deep. I said deep squad. Kentucky relied on. To be honest with you, Bam Bam may not even be a first round.
But pick. No, but you're talking about prospects.
They got two first round drops. Two first round. Bam Bam may not even be a first rounder.
He's gonna be late first round.
If that. But you're saying late. Late is iffy. Late is not a guarantee.
It's the first round.
So no. Because I could say I could say Barry is a late first round pick. Depending on certain mock drafts, I could say that. I could say Barry's a late first round pick.
If you can find it for me,
I will find it.
Next year.
No. I didn't say Barry. I said Bradley's next year first
round pick. Didn't he say Barry?
No, Bradley. I said Bradley.
You're going to rewind.
I said Bradley. If I did, correct me. I meant Bradley. So either way, I meant Bradley. Get my point? There we go.
Okay, let me ask you this.
It's your second L for the day, Wally. Just admit it.
Let me ask you this.
No, it's not.
So if you're an NBA GM and Bam and Joe Barry on the board, who are you going to take?
Bam don't score. I'm giving me Barry. I'll take Barry over Bam Bam. Does Bam Bam have a post game? And don't lie.
No,
he doesn't.
But dude,
can
I get a point in though?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, half of the big men in the NBA have a low post game.
No, but this is my point. The big men. No.
There is nowhere with like top three. He has no post game.
No. But he was highly top. That's wholly different. That's a different class though. But you name Bam Bam. What can bigs do in the NBA?
They can run, jump, rebound, and rebound, and do a shot block.
No. With today's bigs, what can they do?
Okay, who are today's bigs?
They can shoot off the pick and pop, right?
Not all of them.
The ones that play pick and pop. The ones that, and unless you're dominant down low. Unless you're dominant defensively. And Bam Bam's what, 6'9"?
Nerlens Noel can't
He's not a starter. Person.
Okay.
He was an early first.
No, he's not a starter. Though. You're gauging off prospects to be today's NBA.
Nurkic that plays for the Portland Trailblazers.
He has post moves. He has post game. He has a post game.
Amir Johnson.
Amir Johnson is a role player. But go ahead, continue. And
Martin
mention Amir Johnson. That's a good point. He stretched his range to a 3-point range. Next.
Bismack Biyombo got paid last
year. Bismack Biyombo is an elite. How tall is Bismack Biyombo?
He's 6'8".
No, he's not 6'8".
Yes, he is. He's 6'8". He can tell you
6'9". So I was right.
You didn't say anything.
Right. You didn't even say anything.
Bismack Biyombo. Listen, he's making $17 million this year.
How long have you been in the league?
It don't matter.
Bismack
Biyombo. That's one example I'm giving you.
Mahimi.
Not a starter.
But Bismack Biyombo is that guy.
I might know everybody got paid. So you're talking about who got paid. Everybody gets paid in the league in the NBA now.
Wow,
because you can't say you got paid. That's not a feasible argument. Swing, no, it's not a feasible argument. You can't say he got paid and say that we talked about this on a different show.
Okay, so Valanciunas.
I'll meet you.
Valanciunas got a better post game.
I'll meet you halfway.
But does Bam Bam have a point game? Post game, excuse me. Does Bam Bam
No, he doesn't. But what does that do to anything?
He's irrelevant.
Kenneth Faree.
Dude, Darius Miles have a post game.
He's not a starter anymore.
But he plays significant minutes.
You don't need a post game.
You don't need to be. We're not talking about a first round pick.
I'm gonna draft you as a first rounder. I expect you to be an impact player.
But you're saying you draft. We're not talking about you draft. We're talking about the NBA.
That's how most Bam Bam. You think Bam Bam be good? Better left leaving, staying in school.
He's
arguably a first round.
Bam Bam is Nigerian. I love my Nigerian people. Bam Bam
is arguably a first round pick.
Should be a first round. If he is, it's late.
It's based on potential.
Late. I'm taking freaking Jackson early.
You were watching the tournament. Yeah, Jackson will get drafted
early over Bam. Well, early
for obvious reasons.
Bam Bam was supposed to be a top 10 pick. He's been exposed. He was supposed to be a top 10 pick.
But he played on an excellent team with
no post game. It's the same. If you look at it and look at Bam Bam, you're like, okay. You're supposed to be at least overpower people.
Here's the thing. Sometimes in college, it's harder to display a post game because so much zone defense is played. Bottom line.
But he had his footwork was sloppy. You can see it. It's not even about.
You said it's about post game.
You can see his post game is sloppy. It's sloppy.
Okay, but he's a freshman in college. These are things that you got to improve upon. It's every player that's coming to the NBA, there are going to be pros and cons about him. Bottom line. There'll be strengths and weaknesses.
Look. I'm cool with taking
Jahlil Okafor. They said
Jahlil
Okafor was a scorer, but he couldn't get off the ground.
I would take Hicks if I could from Carolina.
So mark it down today. March 28th. Wally says Bam is not a first round pick.
I said if that.
Well, late for that. That's what we said.
Late doesn't count. It's late. Late's like an early second round pick.
You get picked in late in the first round, it counts.
Look.
If it's you, it counts.
Look.
It's not me. See, we got off topic because you were so impassionately arguing about.
You started.
No, I didn't start.
I mean, look, no, I understand.
You said you said Roy Williams is not a good coach because he has NBA prospects. And I'm saying, look at Kentucky. Kentucky has top NBA prospects. That was all my point.
Well, I will argue. So let me make this point.
Yeah, what's up?
We could debate it further, but I will argue that.
I
will argue because Roy Williams has pro prospects. He's a good coach because part of college coaching is recruiting.
Yeah.
That's one of the responsibilities. So if you can recruit that amount of talent and you can go this deep 2 years in a row to the Final Four, you're a good college coach.
It comes down to coaching. It does because think about it. You can have all the first round draft picks in the world.
Right.
Kentucky went John Wall's year. They had three legitimate first round picks in their starting lineup and Terrence Jones who went in what?
Yep.
The second round?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second round pick.
It doesn't matter, but I'm saying, but they didn't go to the Final Four.
Terrence Williams was a first round pick.
Terrence Jones.
He might have been a first round. You got four first round picks in your lineup.
Please don't. Let's not lie about it, because I'm not sure what he.
No, he was a first round pick.
Bum. Next, please. Left hand bum. Can't make a layup for real to save his life. But he was a good ball.
You're a first round pick. If he was on NBA level, I guess you
first round, 18th overall.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what's up for him, man.
Now he left.
God is good.
Let me please point this out though. He was not a first round draft pick the year he played with DeMarcus Cousins. He went later. He won a championship with Anthony Davis.
All right,
so it is what it is.
Let's get to the Final Four, man. UNC is playing Oregon. Gonzaga is playing South Carolina. Gonzaga is playing South Carolina. Give me your picks in these two games, and give me something to look for going in.
I'm going with North Carolina and Gonzaga. I think the North Carolina Oregon game is going to be the most exciting game we get out of the Final Four matchups, just for the simple fact that Oregon has, we can debate this, three NBA prospects. I believe.
Who's the third? I like Dorsey and Brooks. Who's the third?
Dorsey, Brooks, and what's the other kid's name?
I know Dorsey Frine. Dorsey averaging like 25 in this
time. I can't forget the kid's name off the top of my head, but once I stop making my point, I'll look it up. Then you have North Carolina, a team that Wally says has 10 deep, 10 NBA level prospects.
10 deep. Maybe 8. Maybe exact.
Well, anyway, I think that's going to be a fun game to watch. They're going to get up and down the floor, depending on how the refs call a game.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a game that comes down to a last shot, possibly. So I think that's going to be the most entertaining game of the Final Four matchups.
That's obvious because I think Gonzaga could potentially blow South Carolina out. South Carolina has made it to this point because of Thornwell being a great leader. He made the right choice. And playing at South Carolina, I think South Carolina is running high off emotion. They're playing tough basketball, but this is a bigger stage. Mm-hmm. And you got Mark Few, who is one of the consistent and one of the best coaches in basketball.
He's a good coach, actually.
Mark Few's an excellent coach. He has no first round picks, and he always, you know, seems to make an impact. His teams always seem to make an impact.
Well, he has.
Nice, Adam Morrison. Nice, yeah, Adam Morrison, right? In the past.
Dick Howe. Dan Dick Howe.
Yeah, where are these guys now?
Exactly.
Adam Morrison doesn't take showers. Dan Dick Howe is – he's a pro prospect somewhere else. Can't coach hygiene.
I actually like South Carolina. Well, that one – I want to pick Gonzaga because I do like the – I like Few as a coach. I think he's an excellent coach. But I just think that when you look at South Carolina, they got the best player on the floor. In my opinion, I think
Jordan Bell.
Oh yeah. I think South Carolina has the best player on the floor in Thornwell. Thornwell to me is one of the better in this tournament so far. I got to watch him. Watching him in the tournament, I didn't watch SEC basketball like that. He's an excellent two way player. He can defend. He scores easy. Post game, nice mid range jump shot. Aggressive defensively, especially like you said, the South Carolina when they press. He's just around the ball. He's a guy, and he's a leader. And you can see he's an excellent leader for that team. I believe he's averaging like 25 in this tournament too. So I just think he's just playing at such a high level. Gonzaga, they're going to rely on Matthews and Goss, those guys, to kind of lead this team. But I just feel like when you look at the best player on the floor, Thornwell is the best player on the floor. You know what? I'm going South Carolina.
Well, to me,
I did want to go with
the
Gonzaga.
NCAA tournament is about teams, not about players. Mm-hmm. So you can have the best player. A lot of the best players are home now. De'Aaron Fox, Melo is an exception to the rule. I picked that team.
Yeah.
Melo. Can we agree that Thornwell and Melo aren't in the same conversation? We agree that they're not in the same conversation? Thornwell and Melo?
No, that's what you said. No, not at all.
That's what I'm saying. Melo is an otherworldly talent that doesn't come around. But the best players are pretty much gone, aren't they? The top picks are not in the tournement.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Well,
to say.
Jackson been one of the better players in the in college basketball.
I'm just saying, if you look at any mock draft, you look at our mock draft, the top five players, none of them are there.
Do agree?
Top six. Top 10. None of them are in the tournament. So it's about team play. And that's why I think Gonzaga's strong.
Oh, they're definitely a strong team altogether. I mean, the Oregon game, that intrigues me too, Will T, because I think you got Batman Robin in Oregon right now, in Brooks and Dorsey.
Yeah.
And Dorsey, to me, has been playing at an excellent level. Like, Dorsey's been consistent, dropping 20 almost every game. And Brooks has been a guy who's been contributing at about 16. So, to me, when you look at that team, in terms of efficiency and having the athletes on the court, which Oregon does have, it's going to be tough for Carolina.
It's going to come down to coaching. This is where Roy Williams, I believe, will shine. Because
me too.
Kansas is just as athletic, if not more athletic, than North Carolina. And Oregon handled Kansas, which looked like the best team in the tournament.
Sure,
so can Oregon beat North Carolina? Of course. If you can handle Kansas like that, of course you can. But again, this is Roy Williams, and he has a week to prepare. He's Thank you. Roy Williams is an excellent teacher. And so is
he's
Bill Self.
He's a great recruiter. Roy Williams is a great recruiter.
Look, I'll be the first to say that when it comes to an in-game strategist, particularly the last 2 minutes of the game, Roy Williams, that's not particularly the portion of it, that's not a strong suit as a coach. But I think preparing his team, if you give him a week, I think he's got this in
the
bag.
I think he's a good recruiter, but, you know, how do you measure recruitment? Do you measure by one and done? Do you measure around just pure talent? You know, how you recruit to, I guess, fit pieces where they'll play well together? Because I'm trying to remember the last one and done Carolina had. Barnes, maybe.
Yeah,
you know, he recruits top talent.
Didn't Harrison Barnes do 2 years?
I'm not sure, but to answer your question, Ray, I think it's only two ways you really can measure, you know, how successful a coach is recruiting, right? That's one by the various publication rankings. So you have Rivals, you have ESPN,
yeah,
and then two, the level, what is the level of success that kid has once they leave your program, right? So that's why you can never grade a recruiting class when it comes in, right? It's usually 1 or 2 years, like 1 or 2 years afterwards. Not unless you're Calipari who recruits five one-and-dones and they all go off and they get drafted to the NBA.
Love that.
Right. See, now that's the thing. That's very unique because they can come together. Even if they don't have the best chemistry, they're so talented that they can win. But what I'm saying is, like, to me, Duke had – quote unquote, the number one recruiting class, but Jason Tatum, Luke Kennard, Grayson Allen, these guys didn't mesh well. They were well coached, but it wasn't a complete team, as you see with the Gonzagas, as you see with the Oregons. So Roy Williams, to me, he recruits based on, okay, I think this piece will work well with this piece. I think James Michael McAdoo will work well with Kenny Meeks in the front court. I'm not going to just recruit any and everybody. Because it doesn't work unless, again, you're Calipari and you know what you're doing, and this is what you do all the time.
No, I think just one last point. I think he does a great job with recruiting guys who he knows that 3 or 4 years from now are going to be able to help put my program, take him to another Final Four.
Right, which diminishes Wally's point again, that he recruits all these pro player prospects. Yeah.
We talking about
Roy Williams.
He does. Speaking of Roy Williams, North Carolina Tar Heels are the only blue blood team in the tournament, in the Final Four, right? Blue blood. You don't like that term?
No, I don't mind it. Just, you know,
it's blue blood.
It's a term I don't hear very often in our community. Will this hurt the urban sports scene?
Will this hurt the Rays? You listen to the urban sports scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
And there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. In all the years, no one knows just how hard you worked. But now it's show. And the world is gone in the blinking of an eye. That moment's gone.
I love this kid, babe. Love
him. You always did your best.
Oh, my goodness.
That in one shining moment.
Oh, what a play.
One shining moment.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Ray, Wally, Will. Check us out on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Just search Urban Sports Scene. We're still talking Final Four. Sorry for ganging up on you, by the way.
It's okay, man. Both teams play
Bullying
hard.
Bullying ain't cool.
Both teams play hard. Rasheed Wallace said that.
North Carolina. Here's what it is.
School of Roy Williams.
Doesn't make you right. Just made us wrong for disagreeing with you.
I'm always right.
Made us feel bad.
I'm always right, even when I'm wrong.
Final Four ratings. We're the underdog, right? We're not one of the top radio shows. People would love to see us make it. Let's compare.
All right, man. Obviously, we don't have Kentucky. We don't have UCLA. We have North Carolina. We have Gonzaga, South Carolina. Gonzaga, South Carolina. Who else am I missing?
Oregon, North Carolina. Oregon.
Yeah, that's how bad.
Oh, Oregon, sorry.
Oregon, that's how bad it is. Do you think it's going to hurt the ratings for the Final Four?
Well, I'll say up to this point, this has been the highest rated NCAA tournament. You know, the ratings keep consistently go up and up and up. But when we're talking about the Final Four, I do think not having I think having such a talented freshman class and not having any of that individual talent, you know, one player that, you know, people can readily or easily identify with, I think it is going to help. I think the ratings will take a slight tumble this week, this Saturday. And particularly, you know, outside of the North Carolina and Oregon matchup, you don't really have – it's not like you have two great matchups.
I think that if they can get – and the storyline right now, I guess the best-case scenario for a decent ratings for the Final Four, I guess, as a whole, would probably be Gonzaga versus North Carolina in the championship game. If you can kind of gauge it that way, they're not a mid-major, but they're a team that started from the bottom. When we were younger, Gonzaga was a mid-major team, not a powerhouse like they are now in terms of college basketball. Now they're more of a consistent threat. And then you got North Carolina, the team that, you know, perennially is one of the best teams in the country. And so I think in terms of storyline, you got David versus Goliath in a way.
I kind of disagree. You play One Shining Moment. When you hear that song,
it's a great song.
You think Bryce Drew.
No, I
you think Hampton. You think George Mason. When you think about the tournament, you think of Mike Bibby's Arizona years. Miles Simon. Miles is whatever. What was
I thought
he saying?
Chris Webber's Time Out when I heard that. The first time, that's the song that comes to mind. Chris Webber's Time Out, North Carolina.
It's still a losing effort. But a lot of the great tournament memories are guys who aren't around, are mid-major schools upsetting bigger schools.
True.
And I think this is what people want to see.
But even to your point,
even though Arizona's a big school, but
it is a big school.
To your point, when we've had those underdogs come up and defeat the, you know, the higher rated seed or the favorites, mm-hmm. it's been closer games, and we haven't had any of that this tournament. So I don't think I'm not.
But go ahead, Wizzy.
I really don't believe that, you know, these two games that we're going to have in the Final Four are going to be, close as discretion, you know, depending on which.
Don't think they'll be competitive?
I think the closest game we're going to get is, I think Gonzaga, South Carolina, I think it's going to be a blowout.
See, it's unpredictable. It's so unpredictable. We could possibly have South Carolina, Oregon in the championship, which sounds funny.
And that would be bad for ratings, though. That would be bad for ratings.
What would be worse is Oregon versus Gonzaga. That would be worse because that's all West Coast. No one on the East Coast is really. Because being honest, I watch college basketball, but how many people on the East Coast stay up to watch West Coast college basketball?
I don't. But
So you really don't know either one of the teams.
But I wouldn't even know South Carolina versus Oregon is just not as attractive as a college basketball fan, because you're going to lose, but not having the more popular teams, you're going to lose the casual college basketball fan anyway. But as a college basketball fan, having South Carolina versus Oregon doesn't do anything for me. Not having Gonzaga, because I know because Gonzaga is a team that I've seen for years in the tournament go to the Sweet 16, not as a one seed, but go to the Sweet 16 and compete in the tournament. I'm like, okay, I know Gonzaga. You know, Gonzaga's cool. And then if you give me an Oregon, I guess I can kind of rock with it a little bit. But if you give me two, if you give me guys who I just think they can't ball, or not a guy that I can kind of relate to as a basketball player, and say, okay, he's a star, he's a stud, I have an issue with that.
Here's the thing. Will T mentioned it earlier. The ratings have been trending upward.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't believe in trends when it comes to money, when it comes to business. It's the same for sports.
But depending what the matchup.
Now, could it trend downward? Possibly. But we're talking these same teams that advanced, and South Carolina mm-hmm. beating Duke was huge for the world. There are people who may
– No, because people hate people. Duke.
Exactly. That's my point. Okay. So that gives you a reason to continue to follow these guys. Oh, I like those guys now. Even though you don't know who is on that team. Most people probably never heard of Thornwell until the tournament, until that game.
Right? I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I think a lot of people people know the coach, Frank Martin.
Yeah, that's true.
They know Frank Martin. Of course they do. I like Frank Martin, by the way. it'll be interesting to see how the ratings turn out. Now, what you're saying is totally possible. I'm not making an argument on either side. I just feel like right now we have to follow the trend based on the facts that we have in place right now.
No, I'm with you, but it's about time to go to a break. We can table this and do this, have this discussion sometime next week after we find out, you know, what the ratings are.
Yeah, I'm going to go on record now. If it's Oregon versus Gonzaga, I don't think it's going to be that high of a rated game.
All right, well, you know what? Anyway, no, it's a good time, though, to be a Hoyas fan. We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Saint.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. When the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory, glory. Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is
you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Will, Ray, and Wally. Speaking of the NCAA tournament, there was a team, a local team, that wasn't in it. And it wasn't University of Maryland. It wasn't even Loyola. It wasn't Mount St. Mary's. It was Georgetown. The tournament was missing Georgetown. Why is that?
Why was that?
Because their coach was not good. And we all knew that as sports fans and basketball
seasons,
fans.
For the last two seasons.
For the last four seasons.
Three out of four seasons.
And we all knew it was time for change. We all knew it was time for change. We knew it was time for a change. The fans, I'm speaking when I say we.
Mm-hmm.
And a change came. And Wally is a Georgetown fan. Who roots faithfully for the Hoyas. And he was excited.
Yeah, it was glory. Glory. It was a beautiful.
Oh, that was a setup. That
yeah,
song.
That's
wow.
What it was, man. Glory.
Nah, because I text both of you guys when
the breaking news.
When the breaking
our
news.
Insider.
No, I wasn't no insider. No, I text both of you guys.
First reported by Will T.
Nah. I've text both of you guys. And the first thing that Wally said was what?
Thank you, Jesus. God is good all the time.
Because John Thompson III lost his job.
He ain't crying.
I know he's not. I'm pretty
paid.
Sure he's.
Look, man.
I'm sure he was taken care of.
He's yeah, exactly.
The consensus is the Princeton offense did him in.
It was more than that. Because to be honest with you, over last season, he really didn't run the Princeton offense like that for real. Not like he used to run it. Just like we talked about Roy Williams about in-game adjustments, he really struggled with that. In-game adjustments, letting the pressure get to him at certain times in games. But it is what it is. Guys weren't playing for him. I mean, this team went 14-18 this year. I want to say 14-18 this year or 15-18 this year. 14-18 this year. Last year, 15-18. And we're looking at a team that has a bunch of transfers. You had Alonzo Mourningson transfer. LJ Peak just decided to go pro where he's not going to be a draft. He's not going to get drafted. And he just couldn't stand being at Georgetown anymore. I know that Chris Wright and Austin Freeman weren't fans of him either. So in terms of his relationship with some of his players, he really didn't have a good relationship with some of those players. And a lot of these younger guys from the last couple of seasons have transferred. You had like James White transferred. So when you look at what John Thompson has dealt with over the last couple of years, he's had guys that left the program. And it was a move that had to be done. Again, we're talking about Georgetown basketball. When I was younger, Big John, I'm not saying they were a championship contending team, but one thing this team brought to the table was toughness. I mean, when you played Georgetown, you knew you was in the war, regardless of who they were playing. And this Georgetown team is getting beat and manhandled by Providence, getting beat and manhandled by Seton Hall, getting beat and manhandled by St. John's. That is ridiculous as a Georgetown fan. And if you watch it, you shouldn't really be a fan of it.
I would agree that John Thompson's teams have been soft or perceived as soft. But I do think the style of play in today's game is just different, which is why you have different you have different programs now being successful. You see the teams that have made it to the Elite Eight. They're long, they're athletic, most of them. I'm talking Kansas, I'm talking Carolina, I'm talking Kentucky. Versus when we were younger, like you said, it was tough play. You saw teams like St. John's, Connecticut. I kind of miss those scenes where, yeah, you know, the Ron Artestes of the world were physical and they played the game tough. Quinn Richardson with DePaul. You can name a lot of players from you know, our early years that if they played today, these guys would have a hard time playing against. You see when the level of physicality is stepped up against some of the stars, they have a tough time.
Yeah.
And even in the pros, like Steph Curry did in the finals last season. So while, yes, John Thompson's teams were not tough, I think the mentally tough component is bigger than the physical one. Yeah. Because, like you said, if you're not making in-game adjustments, what is your team learning from you? How are they supposed to overcome adversity if you can't, as a leader, overcome adversity?
We've all watched the Maryland Georgetown.
That meltdown was a meltdown.
Like you saw it, but you can see it in his face as a coach. It was like he was panicking too. So he's shown over the last couple of seasons. I was a big fan of Coach JT3. I was. I thought even running the Princeton offense, I was like, you know what? It's pure basketball. But as anything, people adjust.
There you go.
They adjust. You know, teams adjust. Now it's time for you to adjust to that. What are you going to do to combat that? And I've always stated that, yeah, Georgetown's not getting the Kevin Durant and the Mike Beasley's of the world. But if you look at the talent, and I've always I am giving him credit here. He has recruited well in this area. In terms of some of the local ballers, you know what I mean? So, like getting an Austin Freeman, getting a Chris Wright, and even this season getting a Derrickson.
DeJuan Summers.
Getting a Govan, who was one of the top ballers in New York. He has done a good job bringing in quality talent to Georgetown.
Just hasn't maximized it.
Talent. True. So to me, when I look at JT3, like anything, he's got to reinvent himself. And unfortunately, he didn't do a good job over his last couple of seasons here. And if you want, and being what Big John had built here, Big John built Georgetown, you can't go with this, you know, and say, you know what, let's give him another year. You see the product. The product is going down. We talked about trends. It's going downward. It was going downward. It wasn't going up.
It is amazing. And it, to me, it's sad as a basketball fan to see the former Big East be a shell of itself.
Mm-hmm.
No Syracuse, no Connecticut, no Georgetown, no Providence in the tournament. That's not the Big East we knew growing up. No St. John's. This is not the basketball we watched as kids. It's tough.
So who should they target right now? Since JT3 is gone, who should they target?
I mean, the obvious people will say is Patrick Ewing, but I don't necessarily think Patrick Ewing is the right hire.
Yeah, Wally said that first.
Yeah, no, you did. You said it 2 weeks ago on our show when we discussed the firing.
Everybody piggybacking.
But no, but I don't think he's the right hire for mm-hmm. Georgetown for the simple fact that. Patrick Ewing, he's used to being an assistant coach in the NBA. And as an assistant coach in the NBA, once you leave the arena, your job is done. But as a college coach, once you're done practices or once you're done games, you got to get on the phone and you got to recruit. You know, being out on a recruiting trail is something that, and of course, he could hire the right assistant coaches, you know, to help him with the recruiting and bring players in. But I don't necessarily think Patrick Ewing is the slam dunk choice to be the next coach of Georgetown. And for the simple fee, and another reason is, do you really want to stick with that John Thompson Jr. nostalgia? You know what I mean? Or do you want to take this program in another direction? Because essentially getting Patrick Ewing would be you hiring the third generation of John Thompson associated players. Do you want to take your program in another direction and get a fresh start?
What's the pool like of coaches out there?
Shaka and Mike Bray, Shaka Smart from Texas and Mike Bray from Notre Dame declined. They were offered, report is they declined it. So those are two out. To me, I don't think the pool is that deep.
Right.
If anything, you know, you can try to talk to other coaches. Like, you know, I told Will T, I like Marshall out of
Greg Marshall
with Wichita State, but I know he's not coming over here. To me, Patrick Ewing fits. But the reason why I think he fits is, one, that what Georgetown has and what they're trying to develop, well, one thing they need to develop is toughness. Patrick Ewing's going to bring toughness. That's one thing I am very confident saying that. And being a New York Knicks fan, you know he's going to bring toughness. He's going to coach toughness.
He'll bring a level of
toughness. I mean, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, there's those some who are detractors will say that Patrick Ewing wasn't tough or physical when he played for the Knicks because he shot
jump shots.
But
he played in terms of he was tough. To me, I mean,
I'm not disputing that, but I'm just giving you another opinion.
I mentioned the kid Govan, a guy to me that I watched over the last couple of seasons. He has post moves. He can work with him. I just think that he's going to bring a level of defense. I can only go off of what Patrick Ewing. He's a Hall of Famer, and he knows defense. And I just think that he'll bring a level of toughness and commitment on the defensive side. This Hoyas team has been soft defensively over the last couple of seasons. No intimidators, no strap, no grit. They need grit, and I believe that Ewing can bring that. And then coming from the NBA game, he's an assistant. And I don't think there's an ego. Sometimes you got NBA coaches going from the college game to the NBA game. They have egos. Patrick Ewing's ego will not. He's hungry to be a quality head coach. That's one thing we cannot shortchange: a hunger to be a quality head coach. And he hasn't had the opportunity to be a head coach in the NBA. Give him the opportunity in the college game and see what he does.
Well, I just feel like you have three big name coaches who have recently been fired, and that's Tom Crean, Lorenzo Romar, and Tubby Smith, that all have had success in the past and all know how to recruit and will have a nice group of players to pick from right here locally. You got to take a look at them, the experience they bring to the table. Tubby Smith in particular is interesting. I just think Minnesota was not the right fit. Very few guys are going to be successful at Minnesota. This is why since Bobby Jackson, they probably haven't advanced, at least from recent memory. So you should take a look at Tubby Smith. You should take a look at I still think Romar should get a look. Romar recruits heavily from this
Romar
area.
Romar picked the number one player out of this area.
Yeah, sure it is.
That was due to an assistant coach. Far before he even became the player that he was, though, they were looking at him, which is why they had an advantage.
Yeah.
But Romar also had the number one recruiting class coming in next year for Washington.
He did.
And
he sure did.
Unfortunately, it didn't pan out for him this year. So I think you still take a look at him. I think why not interview him? He's out there. And then Tom Crean.
I like Tom Crean
is a good coach. Again, Indiana, it seems like an attractive job. But look at the programs I just named. This is a new game. This is a new era. The Indianas of the world are not as successful as they used to be, bottom line.
Well, I think there's two questions you have to ask when you assessing this Georgetown job. A, is this one of the top jobs in the country, right?
It's still a high-level job. It's still a high-level job.
I mean, you have people around here will tell you this is one of the
premier jobs
in America.
I wouldn't say in America.
Yes.
It's not a blue blood. So it's hard for me to even like
and
put
two,
it in that level.
You have to ask, will the coach who accepts this position be able to recruit players in at the academic level that Georgetown would accept? Because Georgetown isn't one of these other basketball factory schools. Georgetown has a very rigid academic.
It all depends who's running the show. Victor Page was not a scholar by any stretch.
And this goes to another point. Will you get the buy-in of a certain legend who still may be heavily attached to the program?
I think this is where, in an interview, you make your demands clear. You haven't been to the tournament in how many years? Make me an offer. If you don't want me, keep going in the direction you're going.
On Twitter, my man at C Wright says, keep it in the family and give Patrick Ewing a shot. My man Patrick on Twitter said, heavy rumors are on Amaker, Tommy Amaker from Harvard, which...
I mean, it would make sense. He's used to recruiting guys that have a school that has a strict.
It makes sense. I mean, I get it.
A high academic barrier.
I'm not the biggest.
Let's go Hoyas and his white guys. Nah, it don't sound like
look, and then Ray makes
it. It's not Joey
Ray
Brown, you know.
Ray has a valid point. You want to keep the culture of Georgetown basketball from what we grew up.
There's still a culture. I mean, the fans are all white.
It's still a culture.
I shouldn't talk about race, but you know. This is why college basketball is what it is, because it doesn't matter about what your race is. It's about team. So he can recruit.
Tommy was a good
fit.
Really matter about.
I was being funny to a degree.
And also, Patrick added that he would like the Hoyas to go with Patrick Ewing as well, though.
To me, Patrick Ewing On the recruiting trail, that name doesn't work for these guys. They didn't watch him. Alonzo Mourning is not a guy that would work. If you're going to sell something, you're going to sell AI as the main person.
I think Patrick Ewing would probably use AI as a resource.
But that's the thing, though. If you're the coach, you have to use the alumni.
His son was part of John Thompson's staff, right?
But you always have with Patrick Ewing, you always, in this area, because we got to talk about this area. He's going to have some clout in this area. Because either their fathers, these kids' fathers, will probably follow Georgetown or seen Georgetown play basketball. So they'll be like, hey, Patrick, you want to come to talk to you? Oh, snap. Blah, blah, blah. It does have some clout in this area.
I think you have to have, if you hire Patrick Ewing, you have to hire a very strong coaching staff.
I agree.
Assistant coaches when it comes to recruiting and just the operations of the college
My final opinion is spend some money. Go take Bob Huggins from West Virginia. You're gonna steal another coach.
I think another guy they may want to look at is Bobby Hurley.
He's not leaving his job. They don't leave. And you don't watch West Coast basketball, right?
All right.
You might want to take it. Bobby Hurley. He coaches at.
He take his father.
He coaches at Albany. Bobby Hurley.
I thought he had a big job now.
He's at Arizona State.
Arizona State. Yeah. All right, let's to another local college basketball topic. Should Maryland Terps guard Melo Trimble go pro? We'll talk about it after break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
To the end of the draft.
They say the time's supposed to heal ya. I ain't done much here. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be. We were younger and free. I remember how it felt before the world.
They can hear you talking now.
Oh, sorry.
That's what happens, man. That's what happens. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T, Ray Jeezy. Like I mentioned before the break, Melo Trimble has a big decision to make if he's going to go to the if he's going to enter the NBA draft. Did I say it correctly?
Yep.
NBA draft.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate that. Do you think he should go pro? Sorry, or enter the NBA draft?
No, he should come back for his senior year. And he needs to develop his game further. He needs to tap into the right resource to get better.
I totally agree with Ray. We agree on this one. If Melo Trimble were – well, he tested the process last year. Mm-hmm. If he were the optimal year for him to have left Maryland was his freshman year, Agreed. That's when his draft stock was highest. Mm-hmm. Coming back your sophomore and your junior year and not really elevating your game to that level that – people thought it would be elevated to, mm-hmm. kind of hurt him. Not kind of, it did hurt him. Only thing he could do is over the summer concentrate on becoming a better basketball player and fix whatever deficiencies he has and come back and have a strong season and take Maryland deep into the tournament.
Yeah, I guess Juan Dixon is not the right guy for him. He needs to go outside of Maryland to reach someone who can relate to him and can teach him. Maybe it can be an NBA point guard. I know Rajon Rondo, who clearly was someone who was very raw, athletically long wingspan, but he needed guidance. And he reached out to Mike Bibby and said, how do I make it to the league? Mm-hmm. Call, you know, you have resources. Call somebody who's been successful in the
call
league.
Call Steve Francis.
I said outside of Maryland.
Maybe Juan Dixon may be a good one.
No, Juan Dixon is an assistant coach there. It's not working.
Oh, he's at UDC.
Don't matter.
Juan Dixon ain't in Maryland no more.
He was. That's what I meant. Yeah. And did it work?
Huh?
Did it work?
Nope.
No, I mean, the way I look at it from Melo Trimble.
He just left Maryland 2 weeks.
He left a while ago. But anyway.
He's still on payback from earlier.
Yeah. But anyway. But like Will T said, Melo Tribble, his best year was his freshman year. He did improve in terms of stats between last year and this season, but he hasn't shot the three ball well. And I think for his game, because he's not a guy who's going to like dunk over anybody or he's explosive going to the basket, for his game, he's going to have to improve on his 3-point shot, his high screen and roll game. He's a better scorer because they expected more out of him. You know what I mean? Average about 17, but he's going to have to improve on that three ball, in my opinion. I think coming, and you mentioned Juan Dixon, I'm just putting this the scenario out there. If he leads this team to the Final Four next season, has a good average. I believe Maryland has a good class coming in. If he plays well, plays at a high level, then he puts himself back into draft conversation. Now, I'm not saying first round pick, but an NBA draft situation. Because this season, if he comes out this season with the talent that's coming out in this draft, he has no chance.
Well, if you were looked at projections just a month ago, he was projected to go 17, around 17, between 17 and 21. Thanks, and now he slipped right out. He's Eric Snow. That's soft. He's going to have to. I'm not worried about his jump shot because he has a better shot than Eric Snow. But yeah. Eric Snow was tough.
Yeah.
He was tough as nails. So he's going to have to work on his level of physicality.
Yeah, Eric Snow, but so.
Yeah.
Dang. He reminds me of Eric Snow. I mean, I don't know. You don't have to agree with me. I'm just. No. I mean, you know, no,
I'm
a lot
just
of
saying,
times.
I'm just saying. I'm not disagreeing.
When you look at college players, you try to compare them to somebody that reminds you of an NBA. And My first thought is Eric Snow is who he reminds me of. Now, some people might disagree, but if you look at Eric Snow's the way he dribbled, his mechanics, it reminds me a lot. And to me, again, Melo is a better shooter. Melo is just inconsistent. He's not mentally tough from my observation.
Uh-huh.
You know when he's having a bad game because you can read it on him.
His body language is terrible.
His body language, right.
Yeah,
so,
it is bad.
You know, again, he needs – I'm going to say it again. I'm preaching it. I'm emphasizing it. And this speaks to the head coach as well, who is such a believer in him that I don't know if he's good for him. Coach K is great because Coach K will say, man, you need to leave. For real, Coach K has told people, clean your stuff out and transfer to a different school because you're not Duke material, and that's motivated people.
He need to do that for Giles, then, because he screwed Giles.
Giles?
No,
man.
No. I don't want to chase up.
He did screw poor
Giles. He entered the day. But the point is, Coach K – this is how he motivates his kids. He might hurt your feelings at the moment, but he gets the best out of you. And I'm telling Andre Dawkins is who I'm speaking of specifically. You're not Duke material. Bye.
Uh-huh.
And even when you know he wasn't responding to Dawkins wasn't responding to him because he went through a very serious personal crisis when he lost family members in a serious car accident. Mm-hmm. Coach K still to develop him said you need to take a break from basketball. I don't think Church is always saying we've been great since Melo's been here. Always positive. Is he motivating? I'm just not seeing that. So he needs to find somebody who's going to help him get better. Maybe he has those people around him. I don't know. This is what. Again, my observation is stay in college or you're going to be in the D League.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're going to be a coach somewhere.
Well, I hope he does stay in school. But it's about time to go to break. When we go back, we come back from break, we're going to talk about the Raiders moving to Vegas. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. My arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters, a sky full of lighters.
By the time you hear this, I will have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards fuck my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, Had a dream, I was king, I woke up, still king. Snap canes, nibbling mine for the milk king. Tell nobody else even f***ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up's using. No more excuses, excuse me if my head is too big for this building. And pardon me if I'm a cocky f***, but you c***s are slick. Popping s*** on how you flipped your life around. Rockers, who you c***s trying to kid flip? You did opposite, you stayed the same. Back with the still you. I love it when I tell them shove it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Marshall said busted black, busted cause he couldn't cut. Busted muster up, nothing brain fuzzy cause he's buzzing. Woke up from that buzzing, now you wonder why he does it, how he does it. Wasn't cause he had buzzing circle around his head, waiting for him to drop dead. Was it, or was it cause them just wrote him off? I guess it doesn't matter now, cause
for you.
Persevere. You might be Glenn Robinson Jr. Right when they start.
Here we are now. Oh, like, sorry. You just get too hyped sometimes, man. You listen to Urban Sports say, "What's up, Wally?"
I win battles.
Jeezy, and Will T.
I haven't won a lot of arguments. If we rewind this show and we tally up the score, I've won almost every argument.
You claim you win every argument. You claim you do.
Will T is the arbitrator in this one.
Look.
He's on my side.
I don't care who's on
my
side. Who's
Roger Goodell.
Look, man, I ride with me, man.
Speaking of Roger Goodell.
Good segue, Ray Jeezy. The NFL owners voted 31-1 in favor of the Oakland Raiders. Well, the Raiders moving to Las Vegas.
The Raiders.
The Raiders. Just win, baby. Anyway, what are the pros of the Raiders moving to Vegas?
There are no pros.
The Moonlight Bunny Ranch. Lamar Odom is going. He's going to host their first party.
There are no pros.
You don't think?
There are no pros. Look, I'm gonna tell you why. Las Vegas is a destination city, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you're gonna have people coming in to attend the games who aren't even Oakland, who aren't even Raider fans, right? So you'll never have on some games you may, but for the most part, you're not going to have a true home field advantage.
That's a good point.
Number two.
I was thinking about the people, but you good.
No. number two, the citizens of Las Vegas are putting up $925 million of public money to build a stadium for a billionaire. Mm. These things are ass backwards to me. It's ass backwards. It's not good business.
It's America.
It's America, but we're what? Literally like 3 miles from FedEx Field. Mm-hmm. You know, Prince George's County residents, we were excited back in what, 1996 or something like that? 1997 when Washington football team opened FedEx Field.
Back then it was called the Redskins.
It's still Washington football team. What has been the economic boom or economic uptick for this local area since this team has been? The area by the stadium is still not developed. We got what? We got the Sports and Learning Complex. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, what economic uptick has it been?
BJ's, Gold's Gym, that whole area. You know, you got Sonic right there. There has been some growth, man. Wegmans, come on, dude. You can't ignore everything.
That's not attached to that stadium.
Why you think it's there? Where you going to get your tailgating food from? You going to go to BJ's. It's right there. It's perfect. Now, you had Sam's Club Pace, whatever it used to be called, right by the stadium, which is gone. You got to move the people out first.
The rent was too high, and that's why Sam's Club.
Can you have gentrification in a county? No. So, because everybody who moves from the city through the gentrification process moves to the county. Mm-hmm. So, it's a harder sell. It was just a tough move. They want to move people out who are living there. No, it's not going to happen. That's the thing. If you move those people out and you move the right people and you increase the property prices, you will have more people. And the school system. It's a whole lot of systematic flaws.
The school system here is terrible.
Exactly. That's why nobody wants to move here, which is why the people like us are still here. And therefore, no businesses really want to come to PG County. But they did, though. Again, you got Wegmans, one of the biggest grocery store retailers.
That was almost 20 years later.
We're talking about Wegmans.
Wegmans 20 years later.
You know how big Wegmans is. It's huge.
Yeah, it is. But that's 20 years later after the stadium was here.
He gets his wings from Wegmans.
It's PG County, brother. This is PG County. That's the problem. Vegas is not PG County. It's not apples to apples.
I think it is apples to apples. I mean, it's apples to apples in a point of where the citizens of various cities and counties continue to fund these multi-million dollar stadiums for billionaires. It's ass backwards.
No. You're speaking to a whole different element. I'm gonna speak from the voice of the fan. If I'm a Falcons fan and they're playing the Raiders,
yeah.
I get to go to Vegas,
yes,
see my team.
I get to do
all of what goes on in Vegas. It's a win-win.
And then
they're going to host the Super Bowl, and it's going
to
be the
–
you're going to gamble, and you go to the money ranch. And it's legal.
I'm looking at the
– Lamar Odom.
The lack of economic benefits for the citizens of Las Vegas who are going to be in debt for 60 years to fund the stadium.
Dude, this is –
you're looking out for the people.
Yes, that's I'm looking out for the people. I'm looking out for the fans. I mean, for the fans, this is terrible. Because if you
in Vegas, yes, but the fans around the world,
you know,
is great.
Honestly, you know how many like one-nighters you can have with your football team?
I understand that. But you guys not seeing my point, though. It was a time where it was a time when NFL teams were owned, where the owners, they looked at it as a public trust. Mm-hmm. They looked at it as, yes, I own this team, but I own it for the community. I own it for the fan base. We've gone past, we superseded the time where owners look at it as, I own a public trust. They look at, the NFL looks at this as a business, continuous business. They don't care about fans. They don't care about anything but money. They don't care about anything but their bank account, the revenue. That's all they care about. And that's all this stadium, that's all this move from Oakland to Las Vegas is, the NFL caring about money. And it's going to become a certain point, as I've told you guys, where the viewership of the fan and the emotional attachment to NFL football is going to continue to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle over time.
And I'm not going to disagree with you. And it is a huge gamble, because we already talk about how the football game experience live is not the best thing. We would rather watch it from our own homes on HDTVs. And we're talking Vegas, where there's a lot of other things to do besides watch football. So if you're going to price those tickets at $100, people going to go to the casino with that. So yeah, it is a gamble. I'm just saying, there are some benefits, though. You know, that's why people go to Vegas to watch fights, because there's a lot going on. I mean, but it's a huge gamble, and it could fail. Absolutely.
I know that Los Angeles, or you know, Oakland is what, a 3-hour ride from 15. It's a 3-hour ride from, I've made it before, from Vegas to LA, and I think it's a 3-hour ride across 15 across the desert. I get it. So you can still get fans who will come into the city every weekend and spend money and stay in hotels.
Lamar Odom. He lives in LA.
No, I get it. It makes it an attractive destination for that reason. But I'm just to me, about it the just comes stuff. To a point where we as fans are going to wake up and look at it as, we continue to fund billionaires multi-million dollar stadiums.
Yes, I feel you. You're a politician, you're an activist, and you're totally right from that vantage
point. You're so right for that.
And but you know, more people need to wisen up to that.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, this is PG County, though. We're going back to that. It is. Has the casinos helped us? No.
Huh?
No, the casinos haven't helped us.
What you mean?
Hasn't helped the schools, the funding that the schools are supposed to receive.
See, now you're just doing things you shouldn't be doing. You're saying things you shouldn't be saying.
No, I get it. MGM is here now. It's not helping me. So, and then he wants to increase my property taxes when we already got the dumb things. No.
Look, you're not saying anything positive right now, in my opinion. These are all hurtful things.
Because you're a gambler.
I love the
MGM. I'm trying to tell you, man.
Actually, I haven't been there once. I need to gamble.
I'm trying to tell you. Look, man, I remember walking in to vote, and man, Mayweather, they're gonna be fighting there.
Yeah, like, they will though.
Dude, Mayweather's about to retire, son.
But they,
like, he who's gonna fight MGM? No, we wanna go see.
Will. I mean,
Lamar Gary, Peterson. Get
no,
local
I
guy.
Mean Gary, like Romer, Gary Russell was supposed to have his fight. Was supposed to have the first fight there, but
it's going to happen.
Lomachenko. next month, Lomachenko, he's going to be fighting at the MGM.
Yes, Lomachenko
at the Harbor. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see if it gets into the schools.
Yes, man.
The revenue from that fight.
Oh, man, I doubt it.
This is exactly real.
That's my point.
Are we going to start like kneeling on the flag? Why are we getting
can't we just talk
you
real
are,
life
you
about
are
this moment?
A tax paying citizen. And that's
man,
the thing.
First, you're talking about Vegas. Like, this is not a good thing. I'm happy for Vegas, to be honest with you. I'm happy with what it's going to do for the tourism. To be honest, I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy.
Overtown
about
it. All
I'm
thinking
about. And then the final point I'm going to make. The final point I'm going to make is, not even 18 months ago, Roger Goodell said that we aren't in favor of gambling in the NFL. We want to distance ourselves so much from gambling. Illegal and legal gambling against the NFL. You're moving to the gambling capital.
I agree with that.
It's ass backwards.
Yeah.
It's dumb. Come on, people. Let's wake up.
Let's wake up.
And then not only that, you barred Tony Romo from having a fantasy football seminar at a casino.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You can't legally bar the players from going to a casino.
Like in Vegas, you can walk around with liquor. Can you walk around in the stadium? Can you take your liquor into the stadium?
I doubt it. That Mark Davis is going to find a way to charge every way he can, and that's by keeping liquor out of that stadium.
Hey, that'd be terrible. That's what made Vegas so great, that you just walk around with liquor. Like, just walk around.
I get it. Will they have, you like, care little, about, all you care about is the Vegas aspect.
Do they will they have, like, the little, you know, the little, because of the card handlers that we, like, like trying to get into a strip club or whatever? Motorboat action. They be smacking the cars like motorboat action.
I doubt it, but I mean, to me, you know, I think, you know, people are so enthusiastic about a team being in Vegas that we're failing to look at some of the underlying things. Mm-hmm. the things, some of the things to me that are just important.
Anyway, it's about time to wrap this show up. No, 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 no.
All right. What about the second? That's the real sport. Will T took the serious angle on this one. I feel you. Hey, I'm coming from that, too.
We're about to wrap this show up. But, hey, it was a blessing and a pleasure to talk sports with you guys.
I absolutely,
and politics.
And politics, too, yes. And me arguing with both of you. Jumping me and whatnot.
We're not jumping you. We just want you to give Roy Williams
knowledge.
We just want you to give Roy Williams some justice.
What you say? And we end the show, man.
I'm not trying to kick knowledge. I'm just trying to kick this. You need to learn the ether.
You will listen to Urban Sports Say.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Hey, mega leaders, how big, homie? Swag.